Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I want to be the first to welcome you to the 2015 version of Le Déjeuner International de Braille. So, I am not the only welcomer because we jointly sponsor this activity with the International Relations Committee. And to just say hello, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to all of you the dynamic head of that group, Miss Sandra Sermons.
Thank you, Paul. You always give such gracious introductions, and I always think, I think that this is not a good situation. But anyway, on behalf of International Relations, I'd like to welcome you all. I'm glad to see everybody. The breakfast keeps growing and growing like an Energizer bunny. And so I look forward to kicking this off and the rest of our activities as well. So welcome. Yeah.
So I'm going to request that the servers begin to serve. And then what I'd like to do is do perhaps just a brief invocation this morning. Lord, bless the food which we are about to receive. Bless our hands, which not only have the opportunity to do your work, but to read using Braille.
Yes.
Bless also all of those who are here from international places, and bless those who are able to join us even from close by. For all of us are in God's hands. All of us use our hands for God's work. Amen.
Amen.
So, now I have asked Michael Byington, because he's a sucker for punishment and one of the nicest people in the whole world, to go around and let us introduce ourselves so everybody who uses their hands to read can use their ears to figure out who's here. So, Michael, if you would be so kind. I'm Paul Edwards. I'm president of the Braille Revival League. And it's Tuesday, and we're all surviving.
Just barely. Paul, are you going to talk to the servers?
I announced it. So I'm assuming they're okay.
Well, Paul, the bad news is about half the tables that are still empty, and I don't know that all the international folks have faded in, but will it turn around?
Yes, it is. It is no joke. Well, you're about to land.
Jim Brock, my name is Florida.
Jim!
All right. Here. Michael Alvarez, I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Thank you. Alan Hayes, the current chairman.
Be careful with the plates, it's a little bit high.
Thank you.
Here in Chicago, Illinois.
What?
I'm not sure what he is. In a minute, I'm going to let everybody go back to eating. Let me talk a little bit about what's going to happen. The one significant thing about this breakfast so far this morning is, while there are some absolutely wonderful people, I think the only international persons here are those from Washington, D.C.
That's right.
Sorry? Didn't hear.
She said New York is
Josephine.
Oh,
here.
Somebody said New York is here also, and somebody to my right mumbled, and Florida's in the United States. So what I thought it might be interesting to do, because I'm not sure that we're going to have time to do it at any other time with BRL, is after I give everybody a chance to eat and socialize a little bit, I thought it might be interesting to spend a little bit of time talking about the implementation of UEB and what's happening in various states, so that people could perhaps give us a report card of what's going on, how they're feeling about it, and where we're going. So for the moment, gird your loins, feed your faces, and be prepared to be eloquent. Thanks very much, everyone. Good morning again. That was pretty lame. Good morning again. Better. So I'd like to begin by asking us if we could express some appreciation for all of the servers who've done such a great job this morning. Muchas gracias. So, see, international breakfast.
We did. Yeah, I just had an international conversation.
Yes. So, in case there are a few people here, and I don't think there are very many, because I think I recognize most of the names of the folks as they were being introduced, I thought that it might be helpful for me to spend 1 minute talking about the Braille Revival League and then giving Sandra an opportunity to talk for 1 minute about what the International Friends Circle does, and then...
Sorry,
the International Relations Committee, excuse me. I am so old, see? I remember things that don't exist anymore. The Braille Revival League is an organization that was set up based on the premise that if what we do to read is important to us, we need to be prepared to do some things to promote it and to save it. And it's been around now for over 20 years. And essentially... at the moment, we're working on a variety of projects, which you'll learn some more about this afternoon. One of the things that I was proud of was that at the end of April, we held our first major conference call to try to map out what the future of BRL was going to be, and there were over 100 folks who turned up, so I was very excited. We are going to try to, as a result of that conference call, actually hold a number of others as the year goes on, talking about Braille issues, perhaps talking about Braille printers, talking about Braille displays, exploring ways that we can promote Braille locally, and a range of other things. But the bottom line is the Braille Revival League is all about reviving your excitement over Braille. So to tell you a little bit more about the International Relations Committee, let me introduce Ms. Sandra Sermons.
Thank you, Paul. Why is it that you introduced me just as I was really, as my coffee was really getting good? You know, I just put enough sugar. Yes, you did. We've been knowing each other way too long. So basically what International Relations Committee, we have a tendency to focus in a lot on what is going on in our country. You know, it's very large, but if you step outside of our borders, you would see different things. People have definitely have a better awareness of what is going on, not only around them in their country, but in other countries as well. The best example of that is the European Union. So what we were trying to do is kind of facilitate communication and the exchange of ideas, thoughts, of the international blind community. How are other folks who are blind or have low vision living? Do they read Braille? Are they taught Braille? What's the unemployment rate? What kinds of things do they do for fun? There's a laundry list, a whole plethora of ways that it can be explored. So, Pam Shaw, with her foresight and vision, decided to approach ACB to establish a committee. So basically, we do international types of things, getting together people who are blind or have low vision from around the world in a variety of arenas and allowing ACB members to kind of get a chance to get to know them and engage their minds a bit about the blind community worldwide. So, that being said, please join. Please join us this afternoon as we will be kicking off our very first Voices from Around the World luncheon. You're accustomed to the reception, but this year we're trying something different. So we will be having our very first inaugural Voices from Around the World luncheon. And that promises to be a wonderful event, and I'm not going to spoil the surprise, so please join us and see what it's all about. That will be immediately followed by Rehab Around the World. We're co-sponsoring with the Rehab Task Force, and we'll be exploring the folk rehab models. We know what ours is, but what are some of the other ones around the world, and are they as effective or ineffective as ours? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. President.
While escorting a young lady who is supposed to perform downstairs, I found another person looking for us. You want to give her introduction?
Of course.
I said it that way.
See, she's another international person. All right.
Michael, we have at least one that came in over here.
We have another latecomer, Mr. Michael.
Yes, yes.
Poor baby.
Michael hasn't finished his breakfast yet.
So here's the good news. This is your last trip because I'm going to ask Ralph to take over running Mike after that. If you would be so kind. Mr. Ralph, would you do that? Thank you.
Yes, I'm Joan Cox, and I'm from St. George.
Welcome, Miss Joan. You guys, it's amazing how well Miss Joan has gotten around. We have seen her at a variety of meetings, and every single exercise she tries, she succeeds at. So we're pretty proud of Miss Joan. That's right.
I've got one more, Margaret.
And there's Texan at that.
Okay.
Hey, Leslie.
Okay. Who was that?
Leslie Weilbacher.
Oh.
If anyone hasn't given me their ticket, then I'll take it.
Cool. So now let's talk for a minute about UEB. UEB stands, of course, for
Unified English Braille.
Yes. Oh, we've got this class well trained. And UEB will be implemented in the United States.
2016.
What date?
January
4th, 2016. So, essentially, does that mean, do you suppose, that anybody who can't read every single dot of UEB will never be able to read Braille again?
No.
No. So every state has begun a planning process. And, of course, the country has begun a planning process. The country's planning process is, for the most part, being orchestrated through an organization called BANA, which stands for
Braille Authority of North America.
Guys are good. Whoa. So the Braille Authority of North America has been holding a number of meetings. They've done a number of training sessions. They have conducted a number of focus groups, all in an effort to try to make some decisions at a national level about how to implement UEB once it happens. So is the implementation of UEB just a simple matter? Do we just flick the switch and it's all over? No, we don't, we can't. So each state has taken a different approach, or a somewhat different approach, though I think most of them have things in common. So the bad news is, if people feel like it's bad news, that on January 4th, 2016, UEB is implemented. The good news is that it probably won't be fully implemented in this country until at least 2020 or 2021. So what that actually means is that the process will be gradual, and most of us think it'll actually be relatively painless. So, in Florida, we have a very large school system, and I serve on the UEB Implementation Task Force, representing the Florida Council of the Blind in Florida. So in terms of starting off telling you a little bit about what goes on in different states, I thought I might just talk a bit about Florida. What makes the implementation of UEB interesting is the kinds of considerations that you have to take into account in order to try to be sure that what you do is give kids the very best chance they can have to be successful using Braille. And so as a result, in Florida, we essentially will have for the first few years most of the kids actually receiving Braille in the traditional U.S. code. And only gradually, at different grade levels, will UEB be kind of snuck in the side door as people gradually learn more of the UEB stuff. What makes school interesting is that Florida has made a decision to, for the most part, honor and retain and use Nemeth code for mathematics. So in addition to kids having to be comfortable with UEB, materials are also going to be produced right along in Nemeth code. However, they recognize that there may be certain situations where kids will in fact not be using Nemeth code. And so there's also at least some passing mention and some allowance for the use of UEB mathematics. Though I think that for the most part, in Florida at least, UEB mathematics is not going to be a serious part of the implementation process. There is the belief that the Braille Authority of North America, in its decision with regard to the adoption of UEB, left room for Nemeth, and Florida plans to keep the Nemeth door wide open. So what we'll gradually see is more and more books being produced for kids in UEB, more and more subject areas produced for kids in UEB, and of course we also have to recognize that some of the kids are just learning Braille, so some of the materials are going to be in contracted, some of the materials are going to be in uncontracted, both UEB and traditional Braille. And so the few years that are the transition years will be extremely busy and will involve at least some duplication. But part of the approach that's being taken in Florida is to try to lessen that by making decisions about which grade levels and which subject areas are going to be implemented in UEB first. I'm done. So, Ralph, I think, has a mic.
I do, actually.
Or Michael does. And I thought it might be interesting to see if another state would like to talk a little bit about what's being done in their state, or if anybody from Banner wants to talk about that, that's good too. And then after a few minutes of hearing about what's happening in other places, particularly if it's different or more exciting than what's going on in Florida, then we'll entertain some questions that I'm going to call on others to help me answer if I can't. So who would like to tell us about what's going on in their state?
Mr. President.
Yep.
Hey,
Gigi Firth. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. One of the things that BRL does is to have state affiliates, and the president of our Texas affiliate is Miss Gigi Firth from Dallas, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about Texas. Cool. No, that's all right. I think I think there was always going to be some issues with regard to transition, but I think the good news is that under a contract that is national but happens to be housed at the Federation, Jennifer Dunham has done what I think is a pretty appropriate job of actually getting the certification test up and running and ready to fly so that at least there won't be a huge gap, because potentially we could have found ourselves in a position where it wouldn't have been possible to even have a certification test. I think you're right, though, that it's going to take some disruption. There's going to be a little time when transcribers and proofreaders are not going to be fully certified in UEB. But the good news is I don't think we're going to see a lot of UEB production immediately, because I think the transition is going to be pretty gradual in most states and throughout the country. So while it certainly is a pain to have to be certified in a second code, I think that essentially, I'm feeling there'll be time, but there are probably loads of others who may disagree with that. Who else would like to talk?
Judy here.
Judy Dixon. Thanks, Judy. And?
This is Ann Langton.
Hey, Ann. From the great state of Kansas.
I would urge all of you to not assume, let me say that differently, I would urge you to assume that something is going on in your states and it's a big secret. I'm sure Kansas is doing something. But when I get home, I'll be talking to the Department of Special Ed, because I don't know what they're doing, and I should. The other question or experience that I'd like to talk about real quickly is I've been trying to locate practice material for another instructor, and I went to the Banner website, and they had a Duxbury translation of materials, but it's in a PDF file, and I don't understand that, because I can't print or braille a PDF file from Duxbury, and why would the translation software people put their materials in PDF? I would say that NLS has a lot of material on their website. We don't have to be reliant on other people. If you have access to a braille production embosser, you can get a lot of material and start learning this on your own if you want to. But don't assume that your states aren't doing anything or are unless you find out. And we need to be involved in that process.
I absolutely agree with what Anne's saying. So,
can I speak again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you. Sure, go ahead.
I'm sorry. This is Judy. The Bail Authority of North America contracted with an organization called CCSSO. Chief State School Officers. This is a mainstream organization. It's not a disability organization. But they contracted with BAN to do a review of the entire United States to see where all the states were with regard to their UED planning. That report is finished, and it is posted on the CCSSO website as well as the BAN website. So some states are doing great. Some states, nobody has started, as you might imagine. But you can go there and look up your state and see where it was 3 months ago.
I think that what Anne says about getting involved at the local state level is very important. Unless we had been pretty pushy, I better not say that. Sorry. We tried to make sure in Florida that we were included and that we did actually have representation on the implementation task force, because we wanted to be sure that this wasn't going to be a decision that was going to be made by well-intentioned and interested in what's good for their kids, but not necessarily cognizant of the needs of other consumers, people in our state. With regard to materials, there are quite a few materials on the BANA website that are downloadable, not as PDF files, but as other things. Correct. That's what I was going to say. So what you need to look for are the BRF files. I don't remember seeing, and there may be, but I don't remember seeing one. I don't remember seeing any file on the BANA website that is not available as a BRF if there's a PDF version. So,
Paul,
yes.
Paul, this is Ray Campbell. Paul, I Paul.
Sure.
Okay. Actually, this is for Judy. Judy, that report you mentioned, does it also list who to contact people are in each state that want to reach out to?
It absolutely does. It's a very good report.
Thank you.
Paul, this is Kim. And
Kim.
I want to acknowledge that there are 3 BANA board members in this room right now. ACB's BANA rep is Sandy Rubinage. NLS is Judy Dixon, and I represent Perkins School for the Blind on BANA. So we are available. As Judy said, there's a lot of information on the BANA website, and there's BRF files there. If you can't find something, reach out to one of us, and we'll figure out what is going on. One thing I wanted to say with respect to information, getting your hands on something, I think a lot of you have requested the UED reader that BANA published back in the fall, and I've been charged by BANA to distribute that, and I've been sending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them out to people all around the country. I'm going to give you the phone number and email that you can use if you haven't received one.
Yes.
And you need to request them.
The scroll of the light jazz band.
Nope.
It's all about that braille. It's a really fun, cool song. I have it on my phone, and I have a Jambox Mini.
You
wanted to play it.
What's it called?
It's all about that braille.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. It would be a great,
cool,
great way to end. So give me about 6 minutes, and we'll be ready for it.
Or you can send me an email. 7248. Or you can send me an email at kim.charlson@perkins.org. And while I'd like, let me, if you don't mind, Paul, I'd like to switch for a moment to kind of back a little bit to the international, because I might have to slip out before we get back to that, and just say that on the international level with the World Blind Union, there is an organization called the World Braille Council. And the World Braille Council is going to be having a meeting in Sao Paulo, Brazil in September. And I am the representative for North America, representing the United States and Canada, and I'll be attending that meeting. And I think I'm the only person from the United States that will be able to attend. So some of the things that the World Braille Council works on are monitoring and supporting the Louis Braille Birthplace Museum in Coupe, France. They're always looking for money. It's not well funded, and we want to be sure that it's preserved so that, you know, we don't lose that historic site as part of our culture and our heritage as people who are blind. So that's one of the things, and we'll be mapping out some strategies for Braille around the world. It gets a little complicated. We think it's complicated just talking about UEB implementation, but when you get on the international level, you're talking about French unification. So they have a unification effort going on in Francophone countries. UEB, there's Spanish unification going on. There's so much going on. And just trying to keep it all level. Judy and I often speak about, can't we just get them to all have the same hat sign in an email? Wouldn't that be just wonderful instead of the Francophone countries have one and we have one? It's getting a little better, but it is an enormous task. And it's a challenge. So I will do what I can to continue to keep all of you informed about some of the international Braille issues and the World Braille Council. So thank you.
Thank you.
And the lady asking before, there's also a new person that came in, I believe.
Oh.
Can you introduce yourself, sir?
Dum 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 dum. We have something exciting to end this meeting with, so you guys don't go. We have a new Braille song.
Uh-oh. My name is Parks Everett, and I work for the division for the services of the blind in Arkansas.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I did.
In Texas, the met that is representatives for the Texas School for the Blind and all the consultants from the Clinical Service Centers, and I happen to be one of them, and in November, and we set up a transition plan. And so what we're doing is, in August, we're going back and beginning a series of webinars and or what we call PEC units, which is an interactive network that you can, to be seen and all these sort of things. And throughout the year, the teachers will be taking classes, and the webinars will be up so that people will need to refresh it. And tests are going to be the state tests not until 2017, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the universities will start teaching a UEB Braille January also of 16. Right now
they're
still using the
cool. AAE. The AAE, yep. Cool. Thank you. That was Olivia Chavez, and I want to say that she actually brought up something that's very important. Every state's implementation plan better have a pretty good program for providing instruction to teachers. And because the core of passing this on to our students is teachers who really know what they're doing and know what they're saying. So I neglected to talk about a pretty detailed program, which has actually been going on for a year now in Florida, and it's being intensified some this year, but the expectation is that every VI teacher, by the end of the 2015-16 school year, will have had a sufficiency of training to at least understand major components of UEB, which is cool. Yep. Yes, in a sec. There, I think we've had two requests. So the lady who wants to say something and the guy who said Paul. And so. Okay. Whoa.
Paul. You open a can of worms.
Okay. I just want to say, if anybody's interested in learning UED, Hadley School for the Blind has a very wonderful transition course.
They do. They do, and thank you for mentioning it. Yep, the gentleman who's saying Paul is next. Raise your hand.
My daughter took a real course this summer, taught by an itinerant teacher, and it was in UVB. So she said, and one of the teachers at the school for the, well, I say visually handicapped, that's not correct, but anyway, took a test. She had to take a test in UAB and she flunked it. And I said, you know, the reason she flunked it is because she knew that she was transitioning from the old system to the new system. And my daughter is just learning UAB, so she doesn't have to worry about it. I don't know if that means that apparently all the Braille teachers are required to pass the UAB test.
Yep. Okay, and I think there was a lady who wanted, had a question.
Hi, this is Henry Fitzbarber, and my question was to Judy, I think. Somebody mentioned the other day that one of the booths in the exhibit room has a, like, a cheat sheet.
And a last
booth. Thank you, that's what I thought.
35.
Sorry?
Booth 35.
35, okay, thank you.
Yes.
Sandy.
So, if, can we get to Sandy, Michael, Sandy Ruknitz?
Yeah. Okay, this is Ellie. I just wanted to say real quick that I think it's great that we're doing the slow transition because this gives us enough time to those of us who read Braille all the time for various reasons to activate ourselves to get do the transition properly.
All right, so let Sandy be the last person to speak. Sandy, tell us a little bit about yourself and make any comments you'd like. We are very fortunate to have Sandy representing ACB. She brings a wealth of experience and information, has interacted wonderfully with ACB, and essentially, in my opinion, is doing a superb job of making sure that consumers are heard at BANA.
Did I have to stop you yet, Paul? Never wavered.
He's up here.
He's up here.
Yeah,
my dog was the one that got stepped on.
I'm sorry.
No. She was out.
I think we'll use the cordless mic.
Okay.
I'm not going to say much about me because unfortunately you're going to hear me speak tomorrow. However, I did want to talk about what Utah is doing. Utah, and Utah is one of about 36 states, or either 38, I'm not sure, if I remember now, but in that report that Judy mentioned from Council of Chief State School Officers, which is a terribly difficult acronym, there are all these states that are implementing UED and have at least some semblance of transition plan. At this point, what we did was we recognized that we need to train teachers. We brought in some experts from Canada because Canada's been implementing UED or at least transitioning there too for about 4 years now. So we brought in two teachers who teach at W. Ross McDonald School in Ontario. We had two-day workshops because we trained all of our teachers and aides and transcribers and everybody else we could think of. As we assessed those teachers, we found that the day and a half we had on literary and the half day we had on math were really not enough time. And so our teachers knew something now about literary, but not enough, and math was a total anathema to them. So we are implementing UED literary this year. Our instructional materials center will start doing kindergarten through And as we go farther on into the implementation and transition phase, they'll do more for more grade levels. But we are trying valiantly to get our teachers trained specifically in UED math during the coming school year, so that by the time we get to the 2016-17 school year, the teachers will know both UED math and UED literary and fairly well.
Cool. Thank you very much, Sandy. I'd like to thank everyone for being here this morning. Since we didn't have any international guests, I am satisfied that we've managed to learn a good deal about a subject that's really important. But I also feel that we've had an opportunity to focus our attention on what we actually need to be doing in our states in order to be sure that we can move ahead as implementation happens. So, two things, and then I'm done. The first thing is to let you all know that this session will, I guess, eventually be edited and up on the ACB website, since it is being recorded this morning. And the second thing is to end with something interesting, which is a Braille song that I hadn't heard. I can hand you this mic if you want,
I've
Judy.
Got this.
Okay. So, Judy, do you want to tell us about it with this mic?
This song was recorded by the Oklahoma School of the Blind Jazz Band. It's up on SoundCloud.
Because you know I'm all about that Braille, no print. I'm all about that Braille, no print. I'm all about that Braille, no print. I'm all about that Braille, Braille. Yeah, it's pretty clear, I read in grade 2, and I can use contractions just like I'm supposed to do. Cause I got those Braille skills that all the kids chase, and all the right tools, and all the right places. We read those magazines and lots of books too. We know transcription's hard, but we do what we do. If you got Braille books, just raise them up, cause every inch of it is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me to worry about your eyes. She said kids, they look little more challenged when they learn to ride. You know I won't be no fair reading that you lose this side. So if that's what you're into, then go ahead and move along. Because you know I'm all about that Braille. I'm all about that Braille, no print. I'm all about that Braille, no print. I'm all about that Braille. Spring and sweet and silence play. Go ahead and tell those pickets it's a fact. It's kind of funny that they're not as fast. And I'm here to tell you every inch of it is perfect from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me don't worry. I'm all about that Braille, no print. I'm all about that Braille, no print. I'm all about that Braille, about that Braille.
Because you know I'm all about that Braille. No print. I'm all about that Braille.